This is Ezo 87. It's called This Is Why My Mom Is the Way She Is.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to episode 87. As Avery said, it's called This Is Why My Mom Is the Way She Is. Yeah. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with me. I'm just saying that there are some things wrong with me. And I wonder, and I'm wondering aloud, how many of those things have to do with my identity as a mother or a parent raising a unique child with complex needs, and how much of it is from me just being slightly neurotic with generalized anxiety and some traumatic experiences in my childhood, which I'm going to talk about in this episode. So there is a trigger warning on this one. This is not for smaller ears or younger ears. They could be any sized ears. We do not discriminate, as evident by Avery's otoplasty ear surgery. So what am I even talking about? So stick around if you want to hear why I'm the way I am, because it's a lot. Okay, let's jump right in. Ding, ding. Just one more quick thing. I don't know why I went ding, ding. I'm a ding dong. That's what's happening over here. I'm just doing the edits, which is really composed of just making sure that there's no glaring gaps in between audio clips, and that if I swore a lot, maybe I'll like cut some of those out. But I think I kept it together today pretty well. Anyway, I just wanted to point out that, as you probably already know, Avery ends every episode with like a little joke. And I realize they're not usually very funny. It's just a way for her to be able to participate in the episode because she's able to read the joke and the punchline off a whiteboard. And when you have a profound speech disorder, reading verbatim is much easier than speaking off the cuff. And so this is why we do that. But today, if you're ever, you know, wondering what a profound speech disorder sounds like, you can really hear it in this attempt at this joke. She was really struggling with the word web. Simple sound, three sounds, w-e-b. And she was saying reb, and then it became mreb. Don't know where that came from. And anyways, it's just interesting to be able to hear what it sounds like. And so we practiced a little bit, and then we just decided to bail completely because it's not worth getting frustrated over. Yeah, anyway, I thought I'd just make that note that that is coming at you at the end of the episode.
Hey everyone, it's a very bright life.
It sure is. Your life is so bright.
I gotta wear shades.
We are so happy that you're here with us.
Let's do this thing.
Well, hey, if you're still here, thank you. And also, why? And my apologies. This episode is what we call a mishmash of topics because I have a variety of things I would like to just overshare. And there are five things that I've made notes on. And also, this is not one of the five things. I'm recording this episode for the very first time from my stand-up desk. So I'm standing and it feels very, very weird. And I don't know how it sounds. Maybe it's echoey. I don't know, but I've been sitting on my arse for far too long. So my friend and neighbor gave me his stand-up desk to take it for a little spin. And for the first 3 days, I just sat beside it and just kind of looked at it thinking, I should be standing. So I have risen. I am standing. And here's the weird thing. I have my computer. Here's my setup. Okay, I'm standing. I'm in my pajamas. So that's why I don't do videos of my podcast recording. And so my laptop is in front of me, and that's where I have my notes, if you can even call them that. It's just a hot mess of thoughts, just kind of sort of bullet pointed. And because I'm standing, I'm further back than I normally would be from my computer. So when I put on my reading glasses, it doesn't work because it's too blurry. And if I don't have my reading glasses on, I can't see a bloody thing. So, I had to make my font for my notes obscenely large. So that's embarrassing. And then I realized, oh my God, you're old. I'm old lady, which on that note, I went to McDonald's the other day, which I rarely do, but I was at the Walmart picking up cat stuff, and I lined up. I thought, you know, I'm just going to get a coffee. I'm that tired. So I lined up. I had to pay cash. I didn't want to use the machine. I had coins, old school. So that was probably what tipped this woman off. I order my coffee. I look down, and on the till it says Senior's Coffee. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, well, maybe I'm at McCafe. Maybe it's Senior Coffee or something like that. What? So then as I was waiting for my coffee to be brewed, I Googled, does McDonald's offer a senior's discount? Well, yeah, they do. They offered 20% off for coffee and tea for people who are 55 plus. What? So I was thinking I looked, you know, in my 40s, but clearly, no. But I wasn't about to argue because 20% off is 20% off. And then I was thinking, ooh, maybe I could go to Shoppers Drug Mart and make it rain over there, you know? Anyway, I'm not 55, though I am 53, so I have not much time left. Anyway, I mean, not much time left until the discount. Not that much time left on Earth, God willing, touch wood. So, aren't you glad you're here? I'm sure you're absolutely thrilled. Okay, so this is a mishmash episode because I have a variety of things I wanted to discuss. None of them are linked together, really, but I tried to find a common thread. So, number one, I spoke last episode about going to this Inspire Accessibility conference, if you will, and it was held in my old high school gym, which was delightful and also highly nostalgic for several reasons. So I was there in the gym and I'm looking around at multitudes of other parents, and we all had this same look on our face, like wide-eyed, wandering around, just kind of clueless, because navigating this stage of our children's lives is not easy. I used to think that the toddler years, well, let me backtrack. I used to think that the baby years were beyond stressful. I couldn't imagine anything more confusing and more just overall frightening, really. And then the toddler years came, and that was tricky. And then transitioning Avery into school and then into high school. And so now here we are in the thick of high school and trying to figure out what the next transition is going to look like into adulthood. And so that's a whole other level of paperwork and logistics and advocating. My God, advocates be advocating over here. So it's tricky. So I'm in the high school gym and I'm imagining myself when I was 17 in my gym strip, trying to avoid all exercise at all costs. So I hated that run that you had to do. Oh God, and the flexed arm hang. Are you even kidding me? No. So I was remembering myself, you know, and how I was 17 and I was making these big plans, and here I was in the same spot, but this time with the purpose of helping to plan for my 17-year-old's future and her dreams, and she has big dreams, and I'm not going to cry about it because I already did, but yeah, it was weird, but I did come away with some kick-ass resources and some really great information and some contacts. And I think I mentioned this before, but I plan to share what I've learned with you so you can apply whatever is applicable to you in your situation. So that was something else. And the second thing I wanted to talk about was being at the high school. I was taking this little walk down memory lane and I went into the bathroom and I was like, God, it looks smaller. And then we had this courtyard, open air courtyard in the middle of the school, and it was the smoker's pit. And I used to sneak in there, but God forbid a teacher ever saw me smoke a cigarette. So I was just there as a poser, just kind of hanging with the cool kids and bumming drags here and there, you know, as you do in the 80s. So I'm looking at this smoker's pit that used to be just, it was a bit of an eyesore, and it's been transformed since my day into this beautiful garden with trees and plants, and I think it's part of their horticulture club and things like that. But right in the very middle of the courtyard in the garden was a monument, a memorial for a student who was about, she was about 6 years younger than me. So I was already out of school and had moved on to university at that point. I was 21. So she would have been in grade 9. And her name was Leslie Mahaffey. And I mean, I knew she went to my school, and I remember the horrific events around that time. It was around 1991. And I just hadn't thought about it in such a long time. And so I'm at my high school with my mom friend. We both attended this conference together. And I was like, oh my God, let me tell you about this. So I kind of, and she is new to this area. So she was, had no idea who Paul Bernardo and his, I'm not even going to say his awful, terrible wife's name. Not even going to say it. That she didn't know about these serial killers that lived among us. And God, it's freaking brutal. If you're a Canadian, you absolutely know this. So anyway, I told her, I said, yeah, there was this husband and wife, and they abducted this young girl from my neighborhood, like legitimately around the corner from my house. And then they went on to murder another young girl. And it was just, I can't even talk about it. So I'm telling her all about this. And, you know, she's just like, she's looking at me like, what in the hell? And then I was like, yeah, I said, you know, it's not my first experience with serial killers. And she's like, pardon? And I said, well, yeah, in the 80s, because I grew up in BC, just outside of Vancouver. And there was a serial killer, very famous one. If you're Canadian, you also know this dude. This was in the early 80s. I was like 11 years old. His name was Robert Clifford Olson. And he was a nasty, nasty dude. And he killed 11 children under the age of 18 in the early 80s, like I said. And it was, here I am, I'm 11 years old. This is my formative years. And I remember being afraid for my life and for the lives of my friends. And there's one really, I'm probably not allowed to tell this story because my parents will disown me, but I will just allude to it. So it's 1981. And we had this sort of cabin slash trailer thing just across the border in the States. So this would be in Washington State. So we would go there for weekends, and it was super fun. It was like camping, and it was awesome, and loved it. Lots of good core memories, except for this one. So this was the height of the serial killer's terror, reign of terror. And I was just a mess. And so we all went to sleep one night, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I heard like a banging sound. And my parents, my brother was sleeping beside me. My parents were nowhere to be found. And I absolutely panicked. I ran outside, and yeah, it wasn't the serial killer. It was my parents just trying to get a moment of private adult time. And if that happens to be in a metal bike shed, then have at it. Honestly, I have mad respect for my parents. They were crushing it. My dad wasn't crushing my mom. They were just, I think they said inflating bike tires or something, some story like that. Oh my God, I can't. Anyway, kudos to them. Love it. So yeah, but I mean, that kind of trauma, and although nothing happened to me personally or to anyone very close to me, during your formative years, like knowing that there's that possibility, that slim possibility, but a possibility that, you know, your life could be taken from you by just some rando stranger, it does stuff to you. So I can't help but wonder if that, it has to have affected how I parent my children, because even before Avery came onto the scene, I was overprotective of my son. Like, you're going to ride around the block by yourself on your bike? I don't feel safe. Red flag, red flag. Anyway, I do have some legitimate anxiety from that whole, from both of those incidences. I mean, who wouldn't, you know? Number three, and speaking of anxiety, I have spoken about this online, this free online therapy program through Tranquility, it's called. I talked about it a little bit in episode 85. And after going through, like, you have to log in, and like I said, it's all free and stuff. And you have to do like a Q&A intake situation, and then it will customize a program for you. And surprise, surprise, mine is CBT therapy that is based on generalized anxiety and PTSD related trauma. So that's pretty on the nose for me. Anyway, it has been great. I'm just working through it like 15 minutes a day. And that's working for me. And I have my very first Zoom meeting with my coach. She's been very patient with me because I keep rescheduling. But yeah, I'm going to meet her tomorrow via Zoom, and God help her. That's all I can say about that. I've been standing now for 14 minutes and 25 seconds, and my feet are starting to hurt. Am I okay? I'm thinking about ordering one of those walking pads. My bestie Tiff has one, and she was like, it's a game changer. So you basically stand at your desk and get your steps in. So Black Friday, I'm going to have a little looky-loo, because then I can at least be moving, you know? That was a stretch. So what else was I going to say? So where am I? Number four? Yeah, I realized that when you have anxiety, you can talk about it all you want, and you can complain about it, and you can explain it away. Like, I have anxiety because of this, and that's all fine and dandy, but unless you're going to do something about it, I say zip it. I'm talking to myself, Lisa, zip it, because I need to put these strategies into practice, because I worry a lot. I think probably I worry more than the average person. I don't know. Maybe I don't. And I know that I often worry needlessly, but sometimes I know that as a parent of a complex child, sometimes I worry needfully. Needfully. I like that. Was that a word? I don't know. But I also, a negative that I'm trying to turn into not a negative, which would be a positive, is my tendency to beat myself up over if onlys. Like, here's one I'm currently beating myself up over. It's, if only she hadn't freaking fallen on her face when she was a toddler. Because an innocent fall, like, she was about, I don't know, 2-ish years old, and she was just learning to walk, and she was doing that thing, that really cute thing that toddlers do when they, you know, walk along the side of the couch, and then she was like bracing herself on the ottoman, and she shook a header and landed on the floor, like smack into her nose. And it was, she didn't break her nose, and she was fine, and, you know, it was all good, but it seemed innocent at the time. But just a series of events that have followed since that one little accident, she has a deviated septum, and that led to, or at least contributed to, her lifetime of mouth breathing. She does not breathe through her nose really at all. And that, I just recently learned, has led to something called long face syndrome, which isn't a very attractive name. And I was just trying to figure out, like, when I look at her pictures when she's little, she's got this little cherub round face, and she has a more prominent nose that kind of runs in our family. And it's also, her nose shape is part of, from what I can see, her chromosome deletion. But it's changed shape. It's even more pronounced than before. And I realize that your nose grows along with the rest of your body, but I'm just saying, like, it protrudes in such a way that she can't even put on the VR mask anymore. She has a really hard time with sunglasses, and, like, I don't know. It's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. But anyways, I'm just saying. So I'm looking at her before picture when she was little, and looking at her face now, and it's just completely changed shape. And she's had braces and her teeth look lovely. Our orthodontist is an absolute rock star. If you want a recommendation for someone who is amazing with complex kiddos, he is your guy. His whole team, they're just wonderful. Avery is sad that she's not going to the orthodontist anymore. She has one more visit and she's done, and she's sad about that. Anyway, message me if you want, if you're in our area and you're looking for an amazing orthodontist. Let me just read you what long face syndrome is. Long face syndrome is a condition that causes a long and narrow face that causes issues with everyday activities. Yes. This condition is also known by its medical name, facial hyperdivergence. This is when a person has the lower third of their face, including their jaw and chin, are longer than is standard. Yes. Often people with long face syndrome have a very visible upper gum line when they smile. Yep. So Avery just in the last couple of years has suddenly developed a gummy smile. And we're like, wow, where did that come from? And I thought it was from the mouth breathing specifically. But a specialist told us that it is more a product of something called vertical growth. So she's her skull and her is growing vertically, and her jaw is small and it is receding and growing like down and back, if that makes any sense. And some people will also have darkened or drooping skin under their eyes. Yep. And the physical signs of long face syndrome are generally minor. It can go completely unnoticed, but many people with a condition aren't aware that they have it until it's kind of too late, which is where we are, because her jaw has fused into where it's going to be. And if you leave long face syndrome untreated, hello, waving my hand over here, it can cause problems because the lower third of the face is pulled away from the rest of the face. And this affects how, and this is where it's affecting us, this affects how people breathe, how they eat, and how they talk. This can also lead to complications such as snoring. Her snore is so sweet, but it's also ominous. Sleep apnea, yep. And fatigue or never feeling fully rested, no. Jaw misalignment, yep. Crowded teeth, yes. And some other stuff. So she also has a high palate. And anyway, it feels like it's too late now because I'm not about to subject her to this potentially brutal surgery that they would need to do to fix it. But I mean, talking about problems with speech, sound. So with our speech therapist, we're working on the M and the B and the P sound. She had those no problem because they're pretty easy sounds to articulate. But try to do that right now. Go M, B, P. Do you notice how your lips have to firmly press together to make those sounds? Well, because her lower third of her face is elongated, it takes a real effort to pull her lips together. So she'll say B with her teeth on her lower lip. So it's frustrating because I feel like if we had caught this earlier, then this wouldn't be, we wouldn't be where we are. Anyway, there's nothing we can do about it now. But the one thing we do need to figure out is sleep apnea, because that is serious and it's getting worse. And just a hot tip, if you are waiting for a specialist as we are, we're waiting for an ENT to talk about possibly correcting her deviated septum or just trying to figure out the sleep apnea situation. Prepare to wait for a long time because specialists are overworked and understaffed. And McMaster, which is the hospital near us, their ENT wait is 8 months. And a second hot tip is if you go to your family doctor and you ask for a referral to a specialist, don't just assume that they've made that referral, because you may be waiting a couple of months and then you think, huh, I haven't heard from the specialist. I realize that the appointment's going to be a while, but at least give us a date, you know? So when you call your family doctor and they say, huh, we don't have any such referral. So frustrating. Advocates, right? You have to advocate your ass off, and it's frustrating and it's exhausting, but you gotta, because nobody cares about your child as much as you do. So you gotta check on everything. You gotta check, double check. What else do I want to say about that? Oh, but here's some happy dental news. However, Avery was supposed to get a filling. I know this is so super boring, but I do have a point at the end of this. She was supposed to get a filling, blah, blah, blah. We had to wait again. It was a year wait for this filling. Don't even ask why. It's just a whole thing. And I decided that, no, I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to settle for waiting. So we just asked around, and a friend of my husband's suggested this doctor, this pediatric dentist, that was near us. I'd never heard of him. And we just called and asked to get put on a cancellation list, and done, in, out, did the filling like in 15 minutes, and it was amazing. So if you are in the GTA and you would also like to have a referral to or a recommendation for a pediatric and adult dentist, because he specializes in kids, but also adults with complex medical needs, he is incredible. Dr. Park is his name, and he's in Mississauga, and he's like, I can't recommend him enough. And then I have one more point, number five. Oh, just another thing I'm beating myself up about, and I bet you are too sometimes. I'm asking myself, what the F have I been feeding my kids? Like, I was on TikTok the other day, and guess what else is bad for you now? Goldfish crackers. I mean, I knew they weren't like a health food or anything, but I didn't realize they were as bad as they are. So I did pan a recipe for these healthy homemade cheddar crackers, but like, let's get real, as if I'm going to make crackers. I don't have time for that. And also, ingredients are expensive. I think by the time I bought all the ingredients to make healthy homemade cheddar crackers, it wouldn't be worth it. But I know that, you know, healthy eating is important for everybody, but it can be even more important in lots of ways for our complex kiddos. And Avery eats like a champ now, but she hasn't always been that way. For her first year of life, she was fed through a nasal gastric tube. And then her toddler and her preteen years were a bit of a struggle. I was on Facebook the other day, and one of those delightful memories came up, and it was me basically lamenting and complaining about the fact that I would spend hours at a time at the dinner table with Avery, and how frustrating it was, and how it would often end in tears, like my tears. And it's so funny. It seems like so long ago, and it was all consuming at that time, and I've barely remember it. So thank God something with her clicked. It's nothing that we did really. I think it was just the key was time and development. So now she legitimately eats more than her brother, who's like a big 6'5" guy. And this girl can pack it away, and she eats everything, vegetables and fruits and sushi and baked salmon and all these things that I could never have imagined as that weepy mom at the table that she would actually be putting into her mouth on her own. So, and just on that note, we have been sharing a couple of these recipes on our Instagram, because I feel like if they help us, they've been game changers for us, maybe they might help you too. So we did this veggie pancake recipe, which is super easy, and they're really tasty. So we did a little video about that because Avery makes them with me on Sundays. And then this healthy hot chocolate situation, which I also enjoy. Anyway, they're on our Instagram, and I'm going to put them on our website as well. So yeah, so basically that's the extent of me, Lisa, beating herself up. There's probably more, but I can't remember them off the top of my head. Anyhow, thank you for joining in and listening to this mishmash mess that has spilled out of my face into your ears. That sounds gross. Okay, I'm going to go. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and I hope to see you over on Instagram. Come on over and say hi. I think that would be lovely. I need to talk to someone other than myself or my pets. Okay, love ya. Do you remember the other day when I can't remember, you wanted to do something, and I was like, I don't think so. And you said, Mom, you're a little, what did you call me?
Little bit overprotective.
You call me a little bit overprotective? What does it mean when someone's like, what does it mean if I'm overprotective?
I want to do things on my own.
And who's stopping you?
My mother.
I'm sorry. I'm really trying not to be overprotective.
It's okay. So you are just my mother.
Do you know how much you are loved?
A lot.
A lot, a lot. And sometimes parents do things because they just want to keep their kids safe. But sometimes certain moms need to just take a step back. Do you think I should?
Yes, but you want to stay with me sometimes, you want?
Okay, so I can stay with you sometimes, but just give you a bit more space?
Yeah.
I can handle that. Okay, thank you very much. Do you have a joke for us?
Yes, I do. What did the daughter spider say to the mommy spider? You spend too much time on websites.
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 Say ooh.
Ooh.
I wonder where this is coming from. This is a new one, isn't it? Web.
Reb.
It's okay. There's no R though. You know what? What's that sound say? W.
W. B.
Web. Web. There you go. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
You spend too much time on the web sites.
Web.
Web.
We're having a bit of a speech difficulty today, aren't we?
Yeah.
It happens sometimes. So the punchline is, you spend too much time on websites. Because you know how spiders like webs and everything? And this spider likes to be on a website. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks for listening.
Your support means so much to us. So thank you for sharing the podcast and for cheering us on. It is amazing to see this bright, beautiful community growing in this way. If you have a question, an episode suggestion, or you just want to say hello, we would love to hear from you. So reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Or you can show off your techie prowess by leaving us an audio message by clicking the message button on the Spotify for Podcasters homepage. That link is in the show notes and on the podcast page on the A Very Bright Life website. If you liked what you heard today, please consider leaving us a review. More positive comments and 5-star reviews nudge the algorithm to deliver this content to more ears. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat with you again soon.